Take your Bible, turn with me this morning to the book of Acts, chapter 24. Acts chapter 24. It's good to see everyone out this morning. Beautiful day to come together and to worship the Lord, to encourage and edify one another, to study the Word of God, and to sing songs of praise to Him. The elders have purchased some new software, and you saw that this morning. R.J. Stevens, who is the editor of our book, him and Dane Shepherd, the book that we use in our song service, they came out a few months ago with the electronic version of our hymnal. And we have previously purchased another hymnal, which is not exactly like ours. A lot of words were different, notes were different, different arrangements. We've used it, but it's been difficult to use. It would take the song leader or whoever was preparing it, whether it be Tanner or Cooper or myself, it would take us over an hour, usually, to put the songs in order, sometimes longer than that. But this morning, when Morris got here with his list of songs, all you have to do is type in the song numbers, click a button, and there they are. So very simple to use, and I hope that it helps our song services, and we're going to try to utilize it quite often. In fact, it's so simple to use, we can use it even on our singing nights. And so looking forward to that. When I have a convenient time, convenience, we all like convenience, don't we? We like things to be right now. We like things to be easy and simple. But there will never be a convenient time or a convenient season in which to worship God and serve God. Convenience. There will always be difficulties and challenges because Satan's going to make sure they appear. He's constantly going to put hindrances in front of us. That convenient time to obey the gospel, friend, will never come. Never. Satan will always remind you of some difficulty that there's going to be in obeying the gospel. And if you're a Christian and you're striving to live for Him, but you're finding it difficult to do some things that the Lord would want you to do, if you're waiting for a convenient season to do those things, Satan's going to make sure that there are stumbling stones there for you to trip over and prevent you from doing what you ought to be doing in your Christian life. Procrastination is a problem, I think, for all of us to some degree. When it comes to obeying God, let's never put off doing what we know to do right when the opportunity presents itself to do so. In Acts chapter 24, verse 24, the scripture says that after some days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. Now, as he reasoned about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix was afraid and answered, "Go away for now. When I have a convenient time, I will call for you." Meanwhile, he also hoped that money would be given to him by Paul that he might release him. Therefore, he sent for him more often and conversed with him. God presents opportunities to do what's right. And Satan constantly strives to snatch those opportunities from us. He presents tempting alternatives to what God wants. He lies to us. He tries to deceive us. And Satan is always active. You remember in Matthew chapter 13 where the seed that fell on the wayside? Okay. What happened to that seed? What did Satan do? He came and snatched it away. Satan is wily, he's crafty. He tries to make certain that doing what is right is never the convenient thing. My friend, if you're here this morning and you've never obeyed the gospel, I'd like to ask you, why? Why not? What is keeping you from it? If you've never rendered obedience to the gospel of Jesus Christ, why do you wait? If you have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, but you're not living like you should, and you know that you know you ought to be doing better, you know that you ought to be living more faithfully to the Lord, more committed life to the Lord, why are you not doing it? Satan will always strive to make certain that today is not the day. Always tomorrow is better. Now, let me remind you of something. When it comes to serving God, when it comes to obeying Christ, there is no neutral ground. Either you are with Him or you are against Him. There is no sitting on the fence, okay? You're either for the Lord or you are against the Lord. What about you this morning? Where are you? This man, Felix, after hearing the gospel, what did he say? When I have a convenient time, or as the King James says, a convenient season, I will call for it. What was his answer, really? No. What did he say? No. No. We need to understand that when we say, yes, Lord, but later, not right now, what we're really saying is no. We're saying no to God. We're saying no to Jesus Christ who died for us. We're saying no. We need to understand that. In 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 2, in an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. Today. As Ashton read from Hebrews chapter 3, today is the day of salvation. Not tomorrow. Today. Why did Felix and Drusilla reject the gospel? Why did they say no to the gospel? They heard it, but why did they say no? For some of the same reasons that people say no today. Let's look at some of those reasons. Now, I want to begin by looking at our text just a little bit and getting some background. I'm not going to take the time this morning to read it, but I'd like to encourage you to do so. In Acts chapter 21, verses 26 through 36, we find Paul being arrested in the temple. Paul was a very zealous man, and he had come to Jerusalem after his last journey. And he had come there to bring back the gifts that had been given to him by the Macedonian churches and churches in Asia for the church in Judea. And so here he was now, and he had met with James and the elders there in Jerusalem. And James, remember, advised him to go down with some other men who had made some vows to the Lord and to show the people that he was indeed a faithful Jew. He was not antagonistic against God or against the law. And so he went with those men to the temple. Well, he was arrested by a mob. And as the mob was threatening to kill him, he was able to make a defense because Lysias, the commander, rescued him. And he made a defense, and as he was speaking in Acts chapter 21, verses 37 through chapter 22 and verse 22, they heard him up to a certain point. And when he said that the gospel was for the Gentiles, that's when they really got angry. And they would have had him killed. So Paul invokes his Roman citizenship in chapter 22, verses 23 through 29. They found out that he was a Roman citizen, and it was unlawful to beat a Roman citizen without cause. So the commander was afraid at that time. And then Paul was allowed, as he was taken in protective custody by Lysias, he was then allowed to go and to meet before the Sanhedrin. And he divides the Sanhedrin. The Sanhedrin was made up of Sadducees and Pharisees. Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection. Pharisees did believe in the resurrection. And Paul, being a Pharisee, used that. He brought up the resurrection and got them arguing amongst themselves. And then there was a plot against Paul. Some men decided they were going to have him put to death, and they were not going to eat or drink till he was dead. And Lysias learned of this plot and had him transferred from Jerusalem to Caesarea. Now, Caesarea is where Felix was. Now, Felix, when he received this letter from Lysias about Paul and what was going on, agreed to hear him. And when Tertullius and some other Jews had come down from Jerusalem, they appeared before Felix, and Tertullius gave his half-truth, but mostly lie version of what took place. And he was a professional orator. He was a lawyer, a prosecuting attorney for the Jews, if you will. And he presented his case in chapter 24, 1 through 9. And then Paul was able to present a defense of what occurred before Felix. And Felix saw that Paul had done nothing wrong. So he held Paul and then said, I'll hear you again on this matter later. So later, Paul was able to appear again before Felix, and this time his wife Drusilla. And that sets the occasion. Now, who is Antonius Felix? Felix was a former slave of Antonia, the mother of Caesar Claudius, the emperor. And he gained his freedom, and after that he was aided into power by his brother Paulus, who had also been a slave, but was a friend of Claudius. He was married three times, Drusilla being his third wife. She was a Jewish and the daughter of Agrippa the First. She was seduced away from her husband through a magician. Felix seduced her and led her away, stole her from another man. And at the time Paul met them, she was around 20 years old and strikingly very beautiful to behold, the historians tell us. Felix had a reputation of being cruel, inhumane. He was murderous and corrupt. He was as corrupt as they come. That's interesting. The Jews saw him this way, but you read in chapter 24, at the beginning of the chapter, Tertullus' view of and his flattery that he heaps upon Felix. All of it was a lie, and the Jews did not like him. But one described him, one historian, a master of cruelty and lust who exercised the powers of a king in the spirit of a slave. He was a cruel man, a corrupt man, but yet this man had an opportunity to obey the gospel. Paul presented the gospel to him. Paul presented to him, he preached to him truth, the gospel, the crucified Messiah. Paul was as good a preacher as they come. But Felix did not obey. Why did Felix not obey the gospel? I want to first suggest some reasons that were not causes for him rejecting the gospel. These were not causes for him rejecting the gospel. He did not reject the gospel because he was unfamiliar with the gospel, with the way, with Christianity, with the church. He was familiar. In fact, as you look there in verse 22, we read, when it says in verse 22, but when Felix heard these things, having more accurate knowledge of the way, he adjourned proceedings. Now, there are other translations, I think, that help clear this up. The New American Standard Bible says, Felix having a more exact knowledge of the way. The NIV says he was well acquainted with the way. The NRSV says that he was rather well informed about the way. He had a more perfect knowledge of the way. He knew about Christianity. That wasn't the problem, was it? Felix heard Paul concerning the faith in Christ, verses 24 and 25. So his understanding even got better than it was. But he still did not obey the gospel. And even after that, in verse 26, it says that he more often called for him and conversed with him. So he continued to learn more. Felix's problem wasn't ignorance about the gospel. Felix heard it. So ignorance wasn't the problem. It wasn't that he could not be forgiven. Some people have the idea, well, I've just done so many bad things that God will never forgive me for them. Some people have the idea that if you go so far, that you can't return. Now, I'll say this, the only reason why people can't return, and that is the case with some, they can't return, but the only reason why is because they're not willing to. They get to the point in their own mind and their own thinking that they cannot, and thus they will not. They become hardened in sin, and their heart becomes hard, and they reject the gospel. But it's not because they cannot, it's because they refuse to. The publicans and harlots can enter the kingdom, according to Matthew 21 and verse 31. And according to Luke 8 and verse 47, the woman who was guilty of many sins, in fact, she was publicly known as a sinner. She was there washing the Lord's feet with her hair. And the people criticized the Lord, said her sins are many. But he forgave her. Paul was a blasphemer, unbeliever, and a persecutor. Voted to have people murdered, but he was forgiven. God desires and wills that all know the truth and repent and be saved. 1 Peter chapter 4, or chapter 2 and verse 4. God desires that all men come to a knowledge of the truth that they might be saved. 2 Peter 3 and verse 9. God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That's God's desire and that is God's will. The only thing that is keeping you from being right with God is you refusing to obey the gospel. I don't care what you've done in the past, where you've been, how you've lived. If you're willing to trust the Lord, turn to Him in obedience and humility, repent of your sins, and obey His gospel, you can be and will be forgiven. Now, something else that was not in the way, the preaching. The preaching wasn't bad. Paul was as good as they come. Paul's habit was to reason from the Scripture. He would open the Scripture and he would read from it, read Acts 17 and verse 2. That was his habit. And that's what he did here. He reasoned with Felix. And in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 2 through 4, he told Timothy to preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort, with all longsuffering and doctrine. Preach the word. That's what makes good preaching, by the way. Preaching the word of God. It's not preaching philosophy. It's not telling jokes and stories and illustrations. Preaching is preaching the word of God. That's what converts people. It's the word of God. It's not the preacher. Paul's habit was to reason from the Scripture. And I'll tell you something else about Paul. He wasn't a hypocrite. Paul was sincere, and he demonstrated his life wherever he went. He lived within good conscience for himself, but he also lived in such a way that others saw he was sincere. Paul was not a hypocrite. So Paul didn't do anything to throw a stumbling block before Felix to make him think that Paul was insincere. Paul was straightforward and direct. He preached to him about righteousness, about self-control, and he preached to him about the judgment to come. He preached a hellfire sermon. Direct. So much that Felix trembled. The problem with Felix was not that he denied God altogether, because now, if you think about it, when he preached about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment to come, Felix trembled. He was affrighted. And someone who does not believe in God, they're not going to be afraid. It's not going to bother them. He was troubled by what Paul said. He said, when I have a convenient time, I will call for you. An absolute unbeliever would not have been disturbed by the message, wouldn't have thought about it. Now, some today choose not to be converted in spite of some of the same reasons. God presents them opportunity, but yet they say no. Growing up under the influence of godly Christians, many of us have been blessed with that. Some grow up in that atmosphere, but yet they still do not obey the gospel. Just because people grow up under godly Christians does not guarantee they're going to be Christians. We're all individuals who make our own minds up. And in order to be pleasing to God, we have to make our own commitments. Children, you cannot ride to heaven on the coattails of your parents. But growing up under the influence of godly Christians, yet people still reject the gospel. Or number two, people sometimes they're given truthful answers to the gospel. They are told the truth to their Bible questions. Maybe they're inquisitive about the gospel, but yet they still refuse to obey the gospel. And having heard the gospel for many years, I've known people who have heard it over and over and over. The problem is that many times when we reject the gospel, guess what? It becomes easier to reject it the next time. And easier even still to reject it the next time. And even easier the next time, and the next time, and the next time. Some people reject the gospel even though they understand very well what Jesus Christ did for them. They know that he died on the cross, but yet they still do not obey him. Some know that they are lost and that the inevitability of them living the way they are is hell for all eternity, but yet they still reject the gospel, refuse to obey. They know exactly what Jesus wants to do. They've been taught. Felix was taught. Yet they still reject the gospel. Some choose not to be converted in spite of anything that anyone can do for them. You pray for them. You try to talk to them. You try to teach them. But they refuse. It is an individual choice. You cannot force. God doesn't force us, and we can't force anyone else. So let me ask this now. Why did Felix choose to reject the gospel? Why did he make the choice that he made? First of all, he desired to please men. He desired to please men. There are a couple of instances in the passage that deals with this. First of all, if you'll look in verse 27, it says that he wanted to please the Jews. He kept Paul bound so that he could please the Jews because there were problems between him and those whom he governed. They didn't like him very much, so he did this to please the Jews. But I'll also submit something else to you. He did it in order to please his wife. He wanted to hold on to that relationship that he had, so he refused to obey the gospel in order to keep his wife and to please her. That is a problem for some. The relationships in their life, in order to please their friends, their neighbors, their parents, their children, they refuse to obey the gospel. Desire to please unsaved people. The people that we work with, we want to please them so we will not live for the Lord. The influence of others has too strong of a hold over us. Paul said in Galatians 1 and verse 10, do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. You can't have it both ways. You're either a servant of Christ or you're not. If you want to serve men, you can't serve both God and mammon. You just can't do that. Sooner or later, you will have to choose between serving God or serving others. Another thing that kept Felix from obeying the gospel was materialism. Look there in verse 26. He hoped that money should have been given of him by Paul that he might loose him. He was hoping for money. He had a position of power and authority. He was hoping to stabilize his authority, his position of power. Materialism. What is in it for me? If I obey the gospel, what is in it for me? You know what? We have people today all over the television trying to tell people that, look, Christianity, that's what's in it for you. You can get in Christ and you can give to Christ, and Christ is going to give you all the money, all the homes, and the cars, everything you want. The gospel of greed, as I call it. These preachers are getting rich off of materialism. They appeal to the materialistic needs or desires of people. Here's the reality. Okay? We cannot serve or choose or love God and mammon at the same time. One has to take priority over the other. So Paul preached the gospel to Felix, but yet because of his materialism, he wouldn't obey. Another thing, he refused to conform to the teaching. He wasn't going to do what's right according to the gospel. Now, if the gospel had, if it had been able to be tweaked a little bit where he could remain with his unscriptural wife, he might have. Or if he could have continued to bribe people, if he could continue to be cruel, he might have. But that's not the gospel. The gospel requires a change of behavior. It requires doing the right thing. And too many people refuse to do the right thing. They refuse to conform to the teaching of the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 11, you have a whole list of sins there that are wrong, that will keep you out of heaven. You will go to hell if you do these things. No question about it. Felix believed that. But yet, he refused to conform to his teaching. 1 John 3 and verse 7, he who practices righteousness is righteous. But you cannot practice unrighteousness and be righteous. And Felix knew that. Self-control. If you're going to be a Christian, you have to learn how to control yourself. That is the notion of restraint. You have to be able to control your practice. 1 Corinthians 9, 24 through 27, Paul said, I buffet my body daily. He had to keep himself under control. In Titus chapter 2, verse 11 and 12, the gospel that brings salvation to all men hath appeared unto all men, and there are certain requirements there, certain restrictions, that we must deny ungodliness and worldly lust, and we must live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world or age. Self-control and judgment. He refused. He trembled in light of the fact that he would stand before God and that he did not repent. Hell was going to be his eternal destiny, but yet he still refused to obey the gospel. Why? Because he did not want to do what the gospel demands. A lot of people are in that same boat today. They simply do not want to do what the gospel demands. Are you waiting for a convenient time? That word convenient time, the King James and the New King James, both, the idea is a convenient opportunity. The NASB says, when I find time. Or the English Standard Version says, when I get opportunity. When I find a convenient opportunity. Listen, again, Satan is never going to provide that. He's going to make sure that it never comes. And Felix says, when there is no political disadvantage to obeying the gospel, then I will. When there is no demand for personal sacrifice of a sinful relationship and a demand of me to live a righteous, godly life, then I will. When there is no longer a benefit to live this corrupt, wicked, sinful life, then I'll obey the gospel. The convenient season never comes. It never comes. Because the gospel is going to stay the same. And the world is going to stay the same. Satan is going to continue pulling you, tempting you to do what is wrong. Every time God provides an opportunity, Satan is going to be there to snatch it away. To lie. To provide tempting alternatives to God's way. Maybe you are here and you're waiting for your family to no longer object to your obedience to the gospel. Will that convenient time ever come? There will always be someone that will object. Always. Are you waiting for a time when less sacrifices will have to be made? living for the Lord demands total commitment, as we talked about last Sunday morning. That will never change. God's standards will never change. Maybe you feel like once you get too old to do the things that you enjoy doing that are sinful, then you'll give them up. Don't be so foolish as that. Understand that the more you sin, the harder your heart gets. The more difficult it will be for you later. Or are you waiting for Satan to get out of your way? He's not. He's not. Obeying the gospel, becoming a Christian, is something that you have to do despite the devil's attempts to keep you from it. It takes courage. It takes commitment, dedication. But my friend, I promise you it's worth it. And if you're waiting for a time that will never come, then where will you be for eternity? In 2 Corinthians 6 and verse 2, he says, "In an acceptable time I have heard you, and in the day of salvation I have helped you. Behold, now is the accepted time." Behold, now is the day of salvation. Paul told Felix. He reasoned with him about righteousness, self-control, and the judgment. Everyone here is going to be standing before the Lord on the day of judgment. And all of us are going to hear the words come from the Lord. And they're going to be either enter in or depart. Which will you hear? If you're waiting for a convenient season to obey the Lord like Felix, that day will never come. Never. But judgment will. And obedience to the gospel requires a committed heart, devotion to Christ, a convicted heart, not a comfortable situation, not a convenient circumstance. It requires commitment, and it will take courage. If any man will come after me, let him take up his cross and follow after me. The Christian life is not one of convenience. It is one of commitment. It is one of sacrifice. It is one that leads, though, to eternal life. The alternative, if you want to live a life of convenience now, it will lead to eternal condemnation in hell. I want to ask you, if you've never obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, I want you to be honest with yourself. And I want you to answer this question honestly. Why do you wait? Why not today? Why not now? I want you to answer that question. If you want to hold on to the back of the pew when the invitation song is being sung in just a moment, you want to hold on to it and grip it and not step out of the aisle and come forward and obey the gospel, I want to know why. God knows why. Do you know why? And I also want you to understand that when you refuse to obey the gospel today, you say, "I'll do it later at a more convenient time." What are you really saying? No. You're saying no to Jesus Christ who died for you on that cross. You're saying no to Jesus Christ who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings before whom you will stand on the day of judgment. You're saying no to Him. I want to know why. If you're here, if we can help you in any way, if you need to obey the gospel, do it. If you need to repent of your sins, do it. Whatever you need to do to get right with God, do it today as we stand and sing.